every time I sing this song, I guess I like to write about Lazarus. You know, he's a pretty good copy. The man that was in the tomb. But I just think about Lazarus coming forth from the grave and how he came out and was singing, Jesus lived in me. You know, and every time when I started to write that song, I wanted somebody to sing it. When Lazarus came out of the tomb, he said, you know, because he was still bound when he came out of the tomb. Still bound. But that doesn't make a very good point. And but I don't know what you rhyme with. But God can lose us in the tomb or out of the tomb. Amen? That's right. He can lose us in or out of the tomb. We may be out of the tomb and still bound. Lazarus was alive and still bound. He can loose the live as well as the dead. Amen. Amen. And set us free. So loose him and let him go. Praise God. Well, there's a man that's walking around. A few days ago was dead. He was buried in a cold, cold tomb with gray clothes around his head. When Jesus heard it, how he wept. He loved Lazarus so. He called his name and he raised him up and said, loose him and let him go. 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 Oh, loose him and let him go. And there's another man in town. For years he was insane. He prayed and cried and changed his mind. And the demons were to blame. When Jesus came, those demons cried out, to the Lord God we know. Then Jesus called those demons by name and said, loose him and let him go. Loose him and let him go. Loose him and let him go. And let him go. Oh, and let him go. So it makes no difference if you are bound. Jesus is the same. He heals the sick and he saves the lost. And power in Jesus' name. The Lord is tempted on every hand. And you have any tales of woe. Put your hand in the hand of a man that'll loose you and let you go. Loose you and let you go. Oh, he'll loose you and let you go. Yes, he'll loose you and let you go. Oh, he'll loose you and let you go. Oh, he'll loose you and let you go. Turn with me to the book of Joshua. Thank you for the offering and everything. It's always a blessing to come to Pine Bluff. Hallelujah. The very first chapter. I thought, Brother Jackson, I couldn't see just who it was that was testifying here, and Saturday night it was, wasn't it? And I was just questioning the fact, well, perhaps brother, whoever that is back there testifying, is going to preach. And if he preaches, he's going to preach my message. You know, I like for things to be that way. I like for things to be that way. I walk in the community service. And you know, if God can speak to Balaam through a donkey, he can speak any way he wants to.
Well, sure.
We went into a community service, and it was my time to preach. In this special service, Easter or whatever service it was, Thanksgiving, and a Methodist preacher stood up
And he opened his Bible and said, I have a portion of scripture I would like to read tonight before the preacher comes to preach. And he read my text. He read the whole text that I was going to preach from. So I just had to preach. So my text tonight is found in the book of Joshua. And I've enjoyed, like I said, I've already enjoyed this service just so very much. And I really feel kind of unnecessary. But if I can add just a little something to this service tonight, then it'll be a blessing to us all. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the singing. Thank you for the testimonies. Thank you for the Spirit of God we've felt. Thank you, Lord, for the faith that we know is rising in the hearts of your people. Expectation tonight, Lord, and we thank you for it. Now we ask that you would continue this blessing with a blessing upon your word, especially now as we come to the latter part of this service. Speak to us through your word. We praise you for it in the precious name of Jesus of Nazareth. Amen. Moses had died. Now it was Joshua's turn, his command, to take charge of the people of God and lead them on to victory.
Praise God.
Joshua stood up, looking at that mass of people, declaring to them that God has said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan. Verse 2 of chapter 1. Thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. I'm going to just read and just comment on these scriptures, if you'll allow me to do it that way tonight. I'm so glad to know that the promises that we have from God weren't first given to us. They are promises that other people have found are true. They are promises that have been tested and tried throughout the ages. Century after century has passed. And people have found that the promises of God are yea and amen in Him to them that believe. The command of Joshua was not a new command. The command had come many years previously. The promise was not a new promise. There was new leadership. There was fresh leadership. There was new anointing. But it was the same God that was working all and in all. God had said, the land is yours when He spoke to Abraham and said to him, Abraham, look out to the south, look to the north, look to the east and to the west. And everything that you see belongs to you. And every place that you put the soles of your feet, it belongs to you. And so the promise of God was given to Abraham and continued through Moses and now comes to Joshua. Abraham had walked, as I preached this morning, walked a walk of faith. The Bible said he sojourned in a strange land of promise. Now I tell you, some of the promises of God are is a strange land to some of us. But they're still true. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I'm trusting His Word divine. Every promise in the book is mine. But the promise was given. And the promise was continued. Every place that you put the sole of your feet upon, every place that your foot shall tread upon, I have given it to you. Not I'm going to give it to you, but I have given it to you. You haven't possessed it yet, but it's already yours. You haven't crossed the Jordan yet, but it already belongs to you. You haven't stepped on it yet, but it belongs to you. you. Now it's up to you to exercise your authority and step on that land. I promised it to Abraham. I promised it to his seed. I promised it to Moses. I am promising it, Joshua, to you and the children of Israel. So arise.
Hallelujah.
Arise and step out, because God's word is true. And then the territory is defined that they that will be theirs if they will simply step out. Now, our territory is not a natural territory. Jesus said, if my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight for me. But his kingdom is not of this world. That's the reason why the kingdom of God does not consist of things that we possess. But the kingdom of God is peace, righteousness, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's God's spirit, God's mystical, spiritual kingdom, that every part, every person that is a spirit-filled child of God is a part of that kingdom. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, which is in you, Jesus said. My kingdom is in you. He says, my temple is in you. I will come in you, and I will walk in you. I'll walk up and down in you, he said. And I'll be your God, and you'll be my people. The kingdom is in us, and I am in the kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus prayed, as the Father is in me and I am in the Father. That's what I'm praying for. The kingdom is in me and I'm in the kingdom. So, the territory is defined. If we have the time tonight, we could begin to maybe list various things that would define our territory. But let's just talk about maybe a few of them. I think one of the territories that God has provided for us is freedom from worry. Freedom from worry. The Apostle Paul said, be anxious for nothing. The Scripture says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Worry. We can think of other things that would identify a territory that God has given to us. He said, my peace give I thee. Not as the world giveth, give I unto thee. Peace from God is a marvelous territory. Rest, Jesus said, come unto me all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Everybody say rest.
Rest.
My yoke is easy. My burden is light. He said, come and learn of me. You'll find that rest.
Amen.
You'll enter into that rest. The Apostle Paul wrote and he said, those children of Israel that wandered in the wilderness for so long a time failed to enter into the rest because of unbelief.
Amen.
They perished. They perished. They enjoyed the blessings of the blood of Egypt. They enjoyed the blessings of the manna that was poured out upon them. They enjoyed the miracles of the quail. They enjoyed the waters of Marah being changed and sweetened. They enjoyed the gushing forth from the mountain or the rock that Solomon, the Bible says, which was Christ. And they were smitten and the water flowed to give them nourishment in a dry and barren land. They enjoyed all those things and yet perished in the wilderness because of unbelief. The territory prescribed in the Word of God. You might add love to that. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, in that or if you have love one for another.
All right. Amen.
You say, well, I just can't love him. Well, if you can't, there's something wrong with your experience. There's something wrong with your experience. Because the Bible says that God's love comes into us by the power of the Holy Ghost. that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given to us. If there's anybody that you and I can't love, there's something wrong with our experience. If there's anybody that we can't go up to and put our arms around and say, "Brother, I love you," there's something wrong with our experience. I was talking to a man just the other day. He said, "You know, Ernie," well, it was just, I guess, just the day before yesterday. He said, "You know, my wife and I, we were doing pretty good, and my wife went to church. I didn't go. We lived right across the church, but I could go to the Baptist church here, another Baptist church there, and the Assembly of God over here, around the corner was a Jesus Name church, and I could have gone to any of those churches. They were so close to me in walking distance. But I didn't go. But one day, one of those pastors came into his home. When he walked in, he didn't pressure the man. He just sat down and visited with him a while. Just chatted with him a while. And then when he got up to leave, without any pressure on him at all, he looked or went out to the door, the man told me. He got to the door, and as he was going out the door, he turned and looked back and called his name and said, "I love you." And that changed that man's complete life. He said, "Nobody had ever told me that they loved me. They tried to get me to come to church. They tried to get me to go to revival. They tried to win me to Jesus Christ. They tried to tell me about the Lord. They tried to persuade me to their beliefs. But nobody ever told me that they loved me." And that changed my life. I tell you, that's a blessed territory. That's a blessed territory. Called love. There are many other things you could think about for yourself just if you just took the time to think about the territory that God has provided. You can think about spiritual power. I tell you, pray for me that I hold out to the end. Pray for me that I'll get inside those pearly gates and hear those gates clicking behind my heels. Pray for me that I'll get up there and get my mansion or get my cabin in the corner of glory land. The devil's been after me all day, bless his holy name. And on we go. But there is spiritual power in Jesus Christ. There is victory in Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, I love to hear good singing. But some of the saddest singers I've ever seen have been Pentecostal singers.
Yes.
Not sad in sound, but sad in sight.
Yes.
Sing about victory. Sing about power. Sing about glory. Sing about victory.
We're happy. Hold on.
I mean, God put a smile on your face just as sure as He put a finger in your feet. Yes, He will. Hallelujah. Man walked in front of a church one day, and the deacon outside said to him, "Son, we're having a very special service tonight. Would you come and be with us in the service?" That young man looked at him and he said, and gave his testimony. He was saved later and now preaching the gospel all over the world. He said, "But I looked at that poor old deacon and he was so sad. I said, 'No, sir, thank you. I've got enough troubles of my own.'" Kind of religion I got will make you smile. It'll make you smile. It'll put a joy in your heart, not just a tingle in your legs. Hallelujah! It'll put a smile on your lips. There's spiritual power. There's victory in Jesus. There's a gladness in the heart. In the middle of terrible situations, we're not happy about everything, but I tell you, we're going to have the joy of the Lord. Unspeakable and full of glory. That's right. Oh, praise the wonderful name of Jesus. I'm not happy that my wife is not here tonight. But that doesn't mean that I can't be joyful. That doesn't mean that I can't rejoice. Because my Bible tells me to rejoice. It says don't rejoice for a time. Rejoice at home. Rejoice when you have prayer around the family altar. Rejoice when you come to church and the choir gets you primed up. But oh, rejoice evermore. Amen. What a territory of spiritual power. I'll tell you, it's a territory of healing in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank God for that territory. I thank God that His Word says, by His stripes we are healed. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgetteth all of His benefits, who forgiveth all of thine iniquities, and who healeth all of thy diseases, who causes our youth to be renewed like the eagles, the Bible says. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Right. They'll mount with the wings of eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. They're hallelujah. Mount up on those wings.
Lord.
God's abundant provision for us. Outlined in God's Word from cover to cover. What a territory. Not just a natural territory. Not a territory that covers several hundred feet square. Several thousand feet square. But a territory that encompasses the whole Word of God and every promise that God has ever made to us.
Hallelujah.
If any man be able to stand before thee, there shall not any man, verse 5, be able to stand before thee all the days of my life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. So I look back and I see people that have made it. I've seen people that have had victory. I've seen people that could pray. I've heard people that could get in touch with God. I've seen prayers answered. I've seen the deaf healed and the lame healed and the sick delivered and people saved, people delivered. Oh, my. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. As He was with Moses, He'll be with you. That's right. Moses is dead, but that doesn't mean God is dead. He'll be with you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I tell you, devils don't die, and God doesn't die.
Right.
You hear some of these psychiatrists, and they hypnotize the people,
and they take them back, and they're one person in one life, and then they're another person in another life, and their voices change, and all of this. Well, that devil didn't die.
That's right.
Yeah. That devil that was in that man 500 years ago, he didn't die when that man died. He just got into another body.
Right. Amen.
And the same devil still talking.
Right. Oh God.
He was in different bodies with different voices,
right,
but still talking.
Oh God.
Now I tell you, God's not dead. And He's still speaking to us through His Word. And He's still talking to others by His Spirit. He's still moving through people like you and me to reach the world that needs Jesus Christ. Still talking. But He says, only be thou strong and very courageous. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people, I tell you, we need people that are strong and of good courage today.
Right, right.
Amen.
Amen.
I've told people before, if I ever get down and get in the hospital, if you don't believe God's going to heal me, don't you come see me. I don't want you to come and tell me about somebody dying of the same thing I got. I want somebody to come like Paul. Said the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve, has been with me this night. And I've got a word for you. Hallelujah. I've heard from God. I've word from God.
Hallelujah.
Isn't that terrible? I read a lady that was in a coma. She'd been in a coma for days and days and days. And this is good admonition. Said that people would come into her room. They would sit and they would talk about where she was going to be buried. They talked about what she was going to wear in the coffin. And that poor woman was in complete consciousness and could hear what they were saying, even though that she was in a, as far as the doctors were concerned, in a coma. She could understand everything that was said. She could hear everything that was said, even though her eyes were closed and it seemed like that she had no consciousness of anything. And while they were talking about burying her, she was praying in her spirit that God would shut them up. That's good admonition for some of us that go visit people in the hospital.
Yes, right.
It really is. I read that. Of course, I felt that certainly must be true in many cases. But here was this woman that was praying, and she said there was one. Said her mama would just come in and cry. But her dear old dad was a saint of God, a minister of the gospel. He would come in, and he would pat her on the arm, and he would pray, "Oh, Jesus, bless her, Mary. Oh, Jesus, we don't understand this, but bless the Mary, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Take care of her, Lord, and raise it up. I don't know whether she can hear me or not, but I'm praying. And Mary, I don't know whether you can hear me or not, honey, but I love you, and God loves you, and He's going to deliver you." Hallelujah! 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 Finally, God did raise that girl out of that place. Because the dear old dad kept on holding on to God. And he wouldn't let go. He wouldn't let go. He was putting his foot on the territory of God's divine promises. Hallelujah. 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 Woo! You know when I read this? We can be strong in so many things. But here's one thing that we really need to be strong about. Not just to raise the sick, raise the dead, heal the sick. But be strong and courageous that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Joshua, here's the secret that Moses had, and it's the secret I want to pass on to you. And that is, if you're going to have God's best, obey my word.
Amen.
Obey my word. And if we are to have God's best, we need to obey the word of God. Now that begins with a simple explanation in Acts 2:38. Repenting from our sins, being buried with Christ in baptism, in the watery graves of baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, being filled with the Holy Ghost, which we identify as a new birth experience. But let me assure you tonight, that's not all of the Word of God.
Amen.
There's some people that have gone through life that have never said to a single soul, "I'm sorry that I offended you.
Oh God,
I'm sorry that I hurt your feelings." People that will refuse to say, "Forgive me, I was wrong." But I tell you, friend, that's a territory that God wants us to discover. And that is God's forgiveness that comes by forgiving others. God says if you expect to be forgiven, you must forgive. When you stand to pray, forgive, Jesus said, that your Father, which is in heaven, may forgive you. Right. And so our forgiveness, to be recipients of God's forgiveness, we must be the exponents of forgiveness. We must... I'm about to get beside myself.
Go ahead.
That'd be two of us up here. But here we are. Needing so much. I got awful quiet. It's awful quiet in here already. But it's the truth anyway. The other day I pulled into a service station. I don't know if I told you this or not. But then I'll tell you again. Pulled into a service station, and I was waiting to get in line, or waiting to get at the gas. This is before the gas, last gas scare. And I was waiting for a pickup truck, and I had the cap on, old dirty work clothes. Nobody knew I was a Pentecostal preacher. So I sat there just like every other ordinary citizen, waiting for somebody to get out of the way so I could pull in there and get my gas. But before I could get in there to get my gas, some other guy came wheeling in there, and he slid into the gas pump, and he got my goat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now I tell you, I've got a pretty good engine in that old pickup, and I've thrown it to first. I shot right up to him, and I slammed on the brakes, and I got out, and I got the gas thing, and I stuck it in the thing, and I stood there looking at him. This wasn't just the other day, it was back during the winter. I remember that. I remember as if it were yesterday.
Yeah.
I don't know whether the devil let me forget it. But I stood there. I was going up there. I wanted him to do it. It was cold. He got his gas and went inside to pay for it. And he came back out. And he rolled up got in the car, and he closed the door. Oh, before he did that, I said something about high class of gas here. Just make the conversation. I didn't feel like making the conversation. But I began to be convicted about what I'd done, so I thought I'd at least be a little nicer. So I made a little conversation, and the man was friendly enough. Yeah, I guess he didn't know I was waiting on... Oh, I didn't send him a letter to tell him that I was waiting on him to get him to think. And he got back in his car, and he cranked up the car. Now, but oh God, that man's about to get away from here, and I had already against him.
Think about it.
I ran in the car. I stopped him. He rolled out his window, and you should have seen his eyes looking at me. What does this idiot want? And I said, sir, a while ago when you pulled in, I was not very nice. And I said, I'm a Christian, and what I did... I said, you may not even notice it, but I tell you, I did wrong, and I'm really sorry.
Lord.
He said, well, you know, he didn't know anything about it. I shouldn't have said anything. But I had to. I know that he won't condemn me. He didn't come to condemn. But he does come to convict. He does, and there's a difference. There's a difference. Condemnation just makes us feel bad with no end. But conviction comes and leaves us a way out by saying, I'm sorry, brother. I'm sorry, sister. Why should we wait until we're on the deathbed and have someone rush to get somebody? to come to our bedside and ask them for their forgiveness, when we could do it now and enjoy their fellowship until the day we all meet the Lord. Why wait? What a territory. And that territory will belong to us if we would but simply set our feet upon it. Say, Lord, I'm going to live a life that's under the very light of your forgiveness. When I come to pray, I know that there's no ought in my heart against anybody. When I bring a petition to you, Lord, I know that my heart is pure. My heart is clean. I doesn't have experience 40 years ago, but I have a relationship with you now that says I am your child, and your spirit is bearing witness with my spirit that I am a son of God, and the channel is clear between you and me, and I can talk to you as a son of God. As a daughter, as a child of God.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to obey your word, Lord. If it says forgive a brother, I'm going to do it. If it says pray for my enemies and those that do despitefully use me and persecute me, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it because your word says for me to do it. It says to do it. I spoke this morning of having a run-in with a young fella. Talked to him on the telephone, and he hung up on me. I don't blame him. I'd have hung up on me, too. And I got to thinking about it. And the more I thought about it, I thought, Lord, you know, I may not ever have a possibility to help that young man who really needs help from the Lord. I told him just a very few facts. They were facts, what I told him. You know, we're pretty good at telling people the facts. And I called him back up. And I told him, I said, you know, I should have just egged you on like that. That was wrong. And I want to apologize. Will you accept my apology? Forgive me. I was wrong at that. He said, well, I don't know. Boy, doesn't that burn you up?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Doesn't that burn you up? No, it hurt me bad. It hurt me terribly bad. To ask someone to forgive me and have them turn and say, I don't know. I went for several weeks with that on my heart to go to work in the morning. I thought about that young man. Judy and I prayed for his salvation. But it just kept on weighing on me, you know. And I kept on praying about it. Deciding that I had done all that I could as far as the situation was concerned. I'd asked him, and I trusted for his forgiveness. Finally, he said his forgiveness. And then he told somebody that I didn't even ask him to forgive me. That liar. No, I can't do that. I can't do that. I must stay in that state of forgiveness. I've got to forgive. If I am to be forgiven. Young fellow was playing the guitar one night. And as he played the guitar, he was playing at the wrong time. I was trying to close the service and he was bing, 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 bing. And I turned around to him and I said to him, Glenn, would you wait just a minute? And I'll be through. So after the service over, I went back and I smiled and I reached out to hug his neck or something. It's been a long time now. But I said, you still love me? He said, more or less. You ever told a girl that you loved her and she said the feeling was mutual? That's about how I felt. more or less. But in that sin of forgiveness, the humble spirit. Let me tell you something about humbleness. Just last week, I was talking to a pastor. And I know of this particular situation. There was a young man in the church. Young fella. Been saved. He wanted to sing. But he couldn't sing. He wanted to be in the choir. But he'd have been like old brother Reverend I. You know, he just wouldn't have fitted in at all. So they found the solution. They said to him, Mike, you can come and stand with the choir. And you can mouth the words. But don't you make a sound. Mike joined the choir under those conditions. Now you talk about a humble spirit. That's almost like the Salvation Army people used to be in London preaching the Word of God, and the people throw the bedpans out on them in the street. And they keep on singing and keep on moving those slide trombones. Mike joined the choir. He mouthed the words. They would not let him sing. They just wouldn't let him. He couldn't sing. Several years have passed now. Mike is a married man. I performed the ceremony for he and the pastor's daughter. But Mike is not only a married man, he's the director of the choir. He not only directs the choir, he plays the organ for the services. And when somebody else is there to play the organ, Mike plays the accordion. God took that humble spirit and made him a mighty testimony for the glory of God. Stand on the territory of a humble spirit. Hallelujah. They that exalt themselves shall be abased, but those that humble themselves shall be exalted. That's why God can do something with a person that says, I'm a sinner. Because that man that knows he's a sinner, God can do something with him. That woman that knows she is unclean, knows that she is a sinner, regardless of her sins, and she admits it, then God can take that person in their lowly state and make them a child of God. What a tremendous thing. I remember a preacher one time who said one of the meanest men in that territory, he was called the Oklahoma Kid. Many years ago, he rode with the Rough Riders, with Theodore Teddy Roosevelt, when they stormed San Juan Hill. He was rough and tough. Now he was a destruction worker. He tore things down.
Yeah.
He was a cussing, fussing, fighting, drinking sinner. One day the revival came to that town in Oregon. And the Oklahoma Kid was persuaded by his wife to come and to be in the service. And so the services continued and the Oklahoma Kid kept coming back. One night, he got up from the seat and he came down toward the front, walked right up to the preacher, looked him right in the eye, and he said, Preacher, I want you to know that I'm the meanest man in town. And the preacher said to him, I sure am glad to hear you say that. The man said, what do you mean? He said, that means that you know you are a sinner and God can save you. The Oklahoma Kid knelt down up on the platform by the pastor, or by the evangelist. The evangelist prayed, oh God, Let me pray like I've never prayed before. And as he prayed, God did a marvelous miracle in that man's life. God filled him with the Holy Ghost. And the next day he went out on the job. And instead of cussing when he mashed his finger and all the fellows were watching to see what he would do, he began to sing, "Come by here, Lord. Come by here. Somebody needs you, Lord. Come by here." We need to admit that we need God. If you're here tonight and you need God and won't admit it, you're a fool. That's just as much as saying there is no God. There is no God. But the smart thing to do is not to drink Coca-Cola, but to turn your life over to Jesus Christ. Men are unwise, unholy, that continue in their own ways. A man that walks out this door without Jesus Christ takes the biggest chance that there possibly can be taken. Nick the Greek, or whatever his name is, could not make any odds on the man, or the woman, or the boy, or the girl that walks out of any gospel service, any service such as we have had this night, walk out of here and say, "I am a sinner, but I'm going to wait. I'm going to put it off. God loves me enough, He's going to give me more time." Say, friends, the only way that you'll ever get your inheritance in God is to change your position and status from a sinner to a child of God. There must be a complete change. There must be a complete change. The person that doesn't know the Lord has no inheritance in the kingdom of God. The wicked, the adulterer, all these things that the Apostle Paul lists, that they have nothing in the kingdom of God. And so for you to have what God has for you and has for me, and I am just not a fourth of the way through. But I want to tell you tonight that God has all those things that we've mentioned already for you and for me if we'll step out by faith. If we'll put our foot on the territory. If we will claim them as ours. They're ours tonight. Hallelujah. You see, God's been working on me. He's been working on me. I get a kick of kind of telling people off. You know? I mean, in a nice way. As nice as I possibly can. There's been times in the past I just love to take the Scripture, you know, and just cut somebody down with it. But God has worked on me. And let me know that that's not the way. That's not the way. That God has a better way. And that better way is to show people Jesus instead of just telling them about Him. Amen? Show them Jesus! T.L. Osborne went overseas after being a missionary for many years. Hardly any results at all. Came back to God, what's wrong? He said, God said to him, "You've been preaching about me. Go back and preach Jesus."
That's it.
Not just about me. The world needs not to hear about Him. They need to see Him.
That's right.
They need to see Him.
Right.
So when I ask somebody to forgive me, even though I may not be wrong, I am showing them Jesus. When I tell somebody that I love them, and I really mean it, it's not words from my lips, it's something from my heart. I love you. That's the greatest, one of the greatest witnesses in all the world.
Hallelujah.
When you're having a tremendous time of trial and even tragedy, and in the midst of it all, you find peace that passes understanding. People see Jesus. People see Jesus. Step on that territory. Step on that land. It belongs to you. God has promised it to us. Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight. We thank You for Thy Word. We thank you, Lord, for the lessons that are in that Word of God. There are people tonight, perhaps, that have never stepped upon the territory of the infilling of the Holy Ghost. But I pray tonight, Lord, that they'll do it. People in this service that may have never stepped in the territory of that blessed relationship with you in water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Help them to say to this pastor tonight, Pastor Brother Rutledge, I know my need. I've been delaying. I've been putting it off, but I want to follow God. I want to do what He says. I want to be obedient to His Word. Some of us, if we didn't have anything to worry about, we worry about it. We talk about things so many times and just keep on talking about them until we begin to worry about them. There's a lot of things that we could worry about, but cast your cares on the Lord because He cares for you. Hallelujah. I tell you, be less Max Factor if we had more of trust in God. Lord Jesus, touch tonight. Set some people, some man, some woman, some boy, some girl, free in this service. We ask it in Jesus' name. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, thank you for letting me share this tonight. I trust that God has spoken to your heart. Hallelujah. I wonder in this service, as we come to close, if there's somebody here that God has been definitely speaking to you. God has been definitely speaking to you tonight. You know that your heart's not right with God. You know that you stand on the brink of eternity without the Lord. And you'll not make the mistake of walking out of the service tonight without committing your life completely to the Lord. Finding your way to this place of prayer. Asking God to forgive your sins. Crying out to Him, to God, to fill you with His Spirit. I wonder if there's anybody in this service. You go stand up right now and come. Right now. Hallelujah. Brother Ernie, I'm not a Christian. And it'll be a mistake. I know it'll be a mistake if I walk out of this service tonight without giving my heart to God. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to make a mistake. I want to come now. Boy or girl or man or woman. While we come to the close of this service, let's all stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go ahead and sing if you have a song. Hallelujah. While we wait for just a few minutes. To share all your troubles like a business friend of mine. A fine man. In fact, he's preaching the gospel now. He was in business. Still does a little work, but he's preaching as well. He said to me, "Brother, I had a piece of property. A man came to me and said, I want to buy that piece of property. He said, well, I've got it for sale. The man said, well, I'll give you such and such a price for it. My friend says, well, I want to sell it, but I don't know if I want that price or not. He said, well, you think about it. So the man went away. In the meantime, someone else came that was interested in the property. But the first man came back. And he said to my friend, he said, Mr. Hedges, I want that piece of property. I've already called my lawyer and had him set it up. And I want that property. Now, how much do you want for it? My friend said, it's not for sale at any price. That man went away. Sinner man. My friend, Brother Hedges, told me later, said, Ernie, said, the Holy Spirit convicted me of my actions. Said, God convicted me of my attitude. My attitude was wrong. I had the right to sell the property or retain it. But my attitude toward that man was wrong. He said, I had to find him. I had to call him. And I said to him, sir, I'm very sorry for the way that I acted. I'm a Christian and a minister of the gospel, and I shouldn't have acted that way, and I want to ask you to forgive me. And that man says, oh, I don't think anything about it. You know, he was a sinner man, didn't know how really to react to that. Don't think anything about it. And I, by the way, I've already bought another piece of property anyway. My home is on that piece of property. My new home is on that piece of property. But I became involved in somebody else's test. And somebody else beside me had to go say, I'm sorry. Maybe there's some more people that need to go say to somebody, brother, I'm sorry. Sister, I'm sorry. I've had something against you for about 25 years now. And I know that it's wrong. But I want you to forgive me. I had a preacher, he's a friend of mine, but I figured that he was usurping authority in the church that I was from. I couldn't see him as the leader of that church. I just could not do it. It was where my father-in-law was from and my wife was from. And I resisted that man. I resisted it until it became almost an obsession. Finally, the Holy Ghost convicted me. And I went back to him and I said, Brother Logan, I've done you wrong. And I want you to forgive me. And I tell you what, if you'll go to any store in town, I want to show you that I really mean business. You're going to go to any store in town and you buy yourself a suit. I want to buy you a suit. It doesn't matter. You know, I want to show you that I forgive you. Or that I want you to forgive. I believe God wants us to show people that we are wanting their forgiveness. Somebody that we need to write. Somebody that we need to call. Son or daughter, rather than scolding them and bawling them out all the time, we need to put our arms around them and say, son, daughter, I love you. I don't understand you. I don't understand you. But I love you. I love you. I read a dad the other day. He'd given his son as hard a time as possible to be. The son wasn't doing what he said. Just wasn't doing. His hair was long and his room was a mess and all. Until finally, that dad said to his son, and I tell you, that's hard for dads to say to sons. But he said, son, I love you, and I want you to forgive me. Tears began to run down that boy's cheeks. That rebellious boy. He just couldn't believe his dad would humble himself. But he did. He did. And that boy is saved today. Because a dad was willing to say to a son, a rebellious son, "Son, I've been judging you all the time, and I've bound you, and I haven't loosed you. And I want you to forgive me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you have delved into our spirits tonight. You've delved into our everyday lives. And that's where it's all at. We're not so heavenly minded that we ignore the good. Lord, you have spoken to us in our very spirits tonight. And I thank you for it. I thank you for it. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You've got something in your heart tonight. Turn it over to the Lord right now. Would you do it? There's somebody that you need to talk to. There's somebody that you need to say something to. Hallelujah. Some wrong that needs to be made right. Some territory that's yet undiscovered that you need to stand on. A step of faith that you need to take. Someone cares for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for it, Lord. Oh.
Sometimes it's hard to get people to humble themselves. Sometimes it's hard for God to get me to humble myself. And yet we all know that God loves humility. I'm going to ask you to get on your face before God tonight. You that are seeking God and every child of God that will do so. If there be one here that has not yet repented, that you join us. I would that everyone here would just moan before God tonight. You've heard a marvelous message. Beyond words. I'm to the place right now that my prayer is beyond words. I want to say, "Oh, God. Oh, God." I want to just let my heart cry out to God. I want you to find the place. Get humble. Get right down before God. Bury your face in the carpet if possible. Come on, everyone. Seekers, everybody. Mourn before God. Call on the Lord. Call on the Lord tonight. Remember prayer service tomorrow night. And Wednesday night and every regular service. Worship the Lord.
I ran the car. I stopped it. He rolled out his window and you should have seen his eyes looking at me. What does this idiot want? And I said, sir, a while ago when you pulled in, I was not very nice. And I said, I'm a Christian, and what I did, I said, you may not even notice it, but I tell you, I did wrong, and I'm really sorry. I'm really, he said, well, you know, he didn't know anything about it. I shouldn't have said anything. But I had to. Because God knew it.
God knew it.
I thank God.